I don't know about how the adults are doing, but I know the kids are having a great time. I think the adults are doing all right, too. So continuing on the theme of increasing the flow of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we spoke about Lord Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva as the source of that flow of unlimited, inconceivable mercy. Then we spoke about receiving it before you expand it. And this evening's title or headline or thought, the mercy that comes from Lord Chaitanya is unconditional and it's unlimited. It knows no limits. So that's our topic. Expanding, if you receive it nicely, it's already readily expandable because it's unlimited. It knows no limits and it doesn't have any conditions. So I wanted to begin with referring to a second metaphor on the first evening. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami was referred to giving a metaphor of Lord Chaitanya as a unlimited desire tree, or a desire tree of devotion. That he, Lord Chaitanya, played the role of a gardener, and the garden was a desire tree, and he was the desire tree. He was the gardener. He was the tree. He was the distributor of the fruits of the tree and the cultivator of the tree. And he had many associates who assisted him. A second metaphor, which is our topic this evening, or beginning point for this evening, is another metaphor found in the seventh chapter of Adi Lila, where the Lord Chaitanya and his five features, the Panchatattva, broke open the storehouse of love of God. So in one sense it's a metaphor, in another sense it's not a metaphor, it's literal. The storehouse of love of God is what Lord Chaitanya and his associates broke open. Other language that Krishna Das Kaviraj uses is they plundered it. Plundered isn't like a very complimentary term, by the way. It's like, you know, pirates plundering victims or something. But I want to read, because it's nice hearing from Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, how he develops this metaphor. It's very poetic. The characteristics of Krishna are understood to be a storehouse of transcendental love. That's the storehouse. Characteristics of Krishna. Those of you that have read Nectar of Devotion, the word that's used in Nectar of Devotion is udipan. Udipan means stimulations of ecstatic love. Right? There's sthayi bhav. There's the steady ecstasy, like an axle in a car, and something turns the axle in the car. In the car, it's an engine, turns the axle. In matters of rasa, what stimulates ecstatic love are the qualities of Krishna. hearing the qualities of Krishna, describing the qualities of Krishna, thinking of the qualities of Krishna, and the various qualities of Krishna mixing with other qualities of Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's loving dealings. They stimulate ecstatic love. So the qualities of Krishna are a storehouse of love of God. Although that storehouse of love certainly came with Krishna when he was present, it was sealed. But when Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates of the Panchatattva, they broke open the seal and plundered the storehouse to taste love of Krishna. The more they tasted it, the more their thirst for it grew. Sri Panchatattva themselves danced again and again, and thus made it easier to drink the nectarian love of Godhead. They danced, cried, laughed, and chanted like madmen. And in this way, they distributed love of Godhead. This is following that verse where Mahaprabhu was considering, "My name is Vishvambhar." Remember this from the first evening? I want us to stay focused. Part of my role here is to stay focused on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name is Vishvambhar. Vishvambhar means one who sustains the Vishva, the universe. He's the maintainer and sustainer of the universe. He's considering, not just by my presence as Shirodakshai Vishnu, as the super soul within the heart of every living being, within every atom, but to sustain the purpose of creation. I want to flood the world with love of God. So this was his plan, and this is the execution of his plan. He made a nice strategic plan and he carried it out. Smart goals. Those of you that know the terminology. In distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not, nor where such distribution should or should not take place. They made no conditions. Wherever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva distributed love of Godhead. There's a very beautiful passage, one of many, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, describing Gadadhar Das. This comes to mind. He was one of Lord Chaitanya's associates. His samadhi is at the place where Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, because after Lord Chaitanya's sending, Lord Nityananda and a number of associates, including Gadadhar Das, he made that place where that pastime of Lord Chaitanya took place his bhajan kutir, and he left his body at that place, Katwa. So Gadadhar Das, I'll make a long description short, he was a madman, like Lord Nityananda, and he was in the mood of a cowherd boy, like Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda and his associates were having kirtan continuously. They were heading for Bengal. They were heading for Navadvip from Puri. But they were so absorbed in kirtan, they didn't know where they were. They would ask people, "Which way to Navadvip?" They would say, "That way." So for hours, they would be having kirtan going that way. And then they'd ask somebody else, "Which way to Navadvip?" "Oh, it's that way." And they'd go for hours and sometimes days, and they'd ask again, "Which way is Navadvip?" "Oh, it's that way." They didn't know where they were, and they didn't care. They were just having kirtan, ecstatic kirtan. It's described that as they would be having kirtan, the whole village would come. Those of you that have been kirtan in Bengal know what that's like. But this was an extraordinary kirtan, not ordinary kirtan. And everyone who simply saw them became filled with Krishna prema. All their material involvements were gone. Little boys would join the kirtan for 3 days. They wouldn't go home to sleep or eat. Those that have children, think about that one for a moment. Confirmed. And rolling on the ground and crying and carrying on like madmen. So one of them, I forget which one, stood in the road in a threefold bending form. It wasn't like a child play. He was in a state of trance. He stood like that for 8 hours, motionless, just absorbed in thought of Krishna. So one day Gadadhar Das, in a particular village where there was a very mean, nasty, vicious, cruel Kazi, he thought, this person should receive the holy name also. So in this state of mad ecstasy, in the middle of the night, at midnight, he went to his palace. And right in through the front gate, right through the front door, right in the big hall, big foyer, and called out, my dear Kazi, please take the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chant the holy name very loudly. A guard came out and thought, saw this Vaishnav standing in the middle of the hall. What are you doing here? Get out. And the Kazi awoke and he stood at the balcony, looked down and said, you know, he could have said off with his head. But he saw the purity and sincerity of this Vaishnav and said, my dear sir, do you know what time it is? Whatever it is, please go home. You can come back tomorrow. No, I can't come back tomorrow. I want you to chant Krishna's name now. Make your life perfect. Chant Krishna's name even once. I can't chant this Krishna name now. You've chanted Krishna's name! Your life is now relieved from so many unlimited sinful reactions. And he just went dancing out the front door. Ecstatic madmen. Without considering who's fit and unfit. Not considering the time and circumstance. The associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda were in the ecstasy of love of Godhead, distributing that love of Godhead to everyone. Although the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed its contents, there was no scarcity. For this wonderful storehouse is so complete that as the love is distributed, the supply increases. Hundreds of times. Try that in your storehouse. Go to the kitchen, cook an offering, and hundreds of times more, there's more vegetables and more grains. More ghee. No. This is a different kind of storehouse. The flood of love of Godhead swelled in all directions. And thus young men, old men, women and children were all immersed in that inundation. The Krishna consciousness movement, this is a verse, somehow Prabhupada snuck that in there. The Krishna consciousness movement will inundate the entire world. Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement will inundate the entire world and drown everyone, whether one be a gentleman, a rogue, or even lame, invalid, and blind. When the five members of the Panchatattva saw the entire world drowned in love of Godhead and the seed of material enjoyment in the living entities completely destroyed, they all became exceedingly happy. The more the five members of the Panchatattva caused the rains of love of Godhead to fall, the more the inundation increases and spreads all over the world. This is the plan of Lord Chaitanya, and he manifested that plan through his loving associates. So, we were discussing in some questions and answers session also further how to best receive Lord Chaitanya's mercy. But this evening's question is, once you have received even a little, just some, of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, what are you supposed to do with that mercy? So, one of my role model heroes in my Krishna conscious life is Prahlad Maharaj. Let's ask Prahlad Maharaj what to do. Prahlad Maharaj is speaking in his prayers to the personality of Godhead, Lord Nrisimhadev. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. So he has received. From whom did he receive? Narada Muni. And he wasn't in a very comfortable position. He was within the womb of his mother. But still, that sound vibration acted and he became a recipient of mercy. And through that mercy, he continued to constantly remember, this is the perfection of Prahlad, Vishnu Smaranam. Right? Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. He was constantly remembering. Constant remembrance. Just as Krishna says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, one whose mind is always fixed upon me, one whose intelligence is always engaged in me, will live in me always without a doubt. Right? So that was Prahlad Maharaj. So now that he has this mercy, what does he do with it? My concern is only for the fools and rascals. That's Prabhupada's translation of vimudhan. Mudha is someone who's foolish. And vimudhan is one who's very foolish. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them. This is that very famous verse, Maya Sukaya Param Udvahato Vimudhan. Maya Sukaya. Those that have heard Prabhupada's lectures, you've heard that a zillion times. Maya Sukaya civilization. Sukha, it means happiness. And Maya Sukha is illusory happiness. Maya Sukaya Bharam. Bharam means accepting a false burden or responsibility. I have to work very hard. The Mudha syndrome. I have to work very hard. Because if I don't work very hard, who's going to carry this load? But my dear sir, you know the example the Prabhupada gives, that the ass that carries a big load. And what's at the end? Morsel of grass. But look on this side of the road, look on that side of the road, look at all the grass. Oh, but I have to carry this big load because otherwise how will I get my grass at the end of the road? And so people, many people, probably nobody here, but many people work very hard to get that morsel of grass. Thinking that's what life is. I'm just being responsible. Bharam. Maya sukaya bharam udvahatovi mudhan. You know, the fulfilling all the responsibilities, etc., of materialistic civilization. And shoche, I am lamenting. Like the verse from Bhagavad Gita, na shochati, na kamsati, samak sarveshu bhuteshu, madbhaktim labhate param. Shocha means lamenting, hankering and lamenting. So Prahlad, for himself, he's explaining to the Lord, I don't need anything. But there is something that makes me unhappy. I feel unhappy for all these vimukha chetasa. Those who are bereft, their chetasa, their intelligence is absent. It's vacant. And in that vacancy, the absence of spiritual value in life, they're working very, very hard, needlessly, and toiling and struggling and suffering, unfortunately. So I feel great pain for their condition. He wants to do something about their condition. I've received mercy. I want to do something for them. The very next verse, my dear Lord Nrisingadev, I see that there are many saintly persons, indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Monavrata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone. This is what you do when you receive mercy as a Vaishnava. I don't wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor vimudhas, foolish persons. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of you lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet. This is the symptom and the response of one who has received mercy. There's compassion. One of the retreats that we had was on that theme also, Vaishnava compassion. How can you be compassionate unless you have received something that's worthy of bestowing upon others? So the application point is we're followers of Lord Chaitanya. In each one of us, however modest and humble the quantum that it is that we've received of his mercy, there's two injunctions. Through that mercy, receive it very gratefully, cultivate it very carefully, and then extend that to others. This is Lord Chaitanya's plan. It's his desire for us. And one of the chief associates of Lord Chaitanya that exhibited this very quality, so many, but the chief amongst them is Vasudev Datta. Now we don't hear so much about Vasudev Datta like, say, we hear about members of the Panchatattva Gadadhar Pandit and Srivas Pandit and Lord Nityananda and Advaitacharya. All of them are not minimized by speaking these words of glorification of Vasudev Datta. But Vasudev Datta was especially dear to Lord Chaitanya. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, when description of Vasudevdatta is presented, Vrindavan Das Thakur describes in this way. When Lord Chaitanya spoke about Vasudevdatta, he spoke as if he had 1,000 mouths. Sometimes we find this expression. He spoke as if he had 5 mouths, sometimes 10 mouths, sometimes 100 mouths. With Vasudevdatta, it was 1,000. He had such love for Vasudevdatta. He had such love for Vasudevdatta, he declared, "Please understand, I am the property of Vasudevdatta." Then he repeated 2 more times, "I am the property of Vasudevdatta. This is a fact. I belong to Vasudevdatta. He can take me into the marketplace and sell me for whatever price he wants. I am his. He's captured me, and I am now his property. Don't understand it any other way." But what was it about Vasudevdatta that compelled Lord Chaitanya to speak like that again and again? He was so magnanimous. In a worldly sense, he was magnanimous. In a spiritual sense, he was magnanimous. Those of you that have been to Mayapur may remember with very fond recollection of going to Mamgachi. Fantastic place where natural beauty still is abundant. And it's in that area where many of Lord Chaitanya's associates lived. Vrindavan Das Thakur lived there. And Saranga Thakur lived there. And Vasudevdatta lived there. And Shivananda Sen lived there. Many wonderful associates. And Vasudevdatta was a very wealthy, aristocratic gentleman. He lived practically in a palace. But his disposition of charity was such that whatever it is that he received, he gave it in charity. So much so, his family was in a difficult circumstance regularly. So Lord Chaitanya instructed Shivananda Sen, who was very expert. Shivananda Sen is the one who arranged for everyone's requirements as they were traveling from Bengal to Puri every year. He made all the financial arrangements, his boat crossings, and you know how all that goes. It's very complicated. And meals and places to stay, and ask Rasika Manjari what it's like just to come to Devanagari for a weekend. She's been working out like anything and has a team, and the team has been very exercised. But Shivananda Sen did this for several hundred Vaishnavas every year, going and coming. So he was so expert that Lord Chaitanya said, "You take care of Vasudevdatta's finances. Just take charge of his finances. So that at least his family is taken care of." Because he just gives everything away. One time when Lord Chaitanya was meeting with all of the devotees, they were returning back to Bengal after the 4 months of the rainy season, Vasudevdatta came before him and made a plea. He paid his obeisances before Lord Chaitanya with folded hands. This is a classic one. Please listen carefully. He pleaded with Lord Chaitanya. He said, "I know you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I know the purpose of your appearance in this world. You can deliver all living entities within the entire universe. So my request of you is, please transfer the sinful reactions of everyone, every living entity in the entire universe, transfer it upon my head so that they can become freed and delivered to the spiritual realm. And I'll stay for as many lifetimes as it takes to undergo the reactions of all of their sinful activities. Lord Chaitanya began to sob and embrace Vasudev Datta. Vasudev, your compassion is unexcelled in the entire creation. But the Krishna, because you're a Vaishnav and you have extended your compassion upon others, Krishna can deliver this whole universe without the necessity of your taking on the reactions of all living beings. Simply by your well wishes, they can be delivered. He gave many examples. He said, just like a man who has a big bag of mustard seeds, and one mustard seed falls out of that big bag, what does it mean to him? Similarly, Krishna has created this entire cosmic manifestation. If one universe becomes emptied of all living entities, what does it mean to him? Besides, they'll come to him and he'll be very happy. Or a very wealthy man has an enormous herd of cows and one sheep gets lost in the forest. Does he even notice it? Krishna will surely deliver simply because it is your desire. You want the deliverance of all living beings. Prabhupada quotes Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saying, in comparison, Christ said, for his followers you believe in me and you'll be relieved of all sins. Vasudev Dutt didn't make such a qualification. All living entities in the entire universe, no requirement, just that they're living entities in the material universe, become relieved of all their sinful reactions. And accept, I'll accept those reactions upon myself. That Christ also did. But in comparing the two, Vasudev Dutt, a whole religion is built upon one person doing this. Vasudev Dutt requested all living entities in the entire universe to become freed from sinful reaction. And not only that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes that his prayer was that they become again situated at the lotus feet of Krishna in the eternal loving relationship with him. So not just release from the reactions of their past sins, but if tendency for further sin continues, just like by processes of prayaschitta or atonement, if there's atonement for some bad deeds or sinful deeds, the prarabdha karma, that is karma that's presently manifesting itself, can be relieved. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati quotes the Padma Puran. Besides the prarabdha karma, again that's karma that's now being manifest, reactions that are being manifest presently, there's aprarabdha karma, there's kuta, there's bijam, not yet manifest, just beginning to sprout and still residing as seed. The desire of Vasudev Dutt was even the seed of a desire other than the service of the personality of God to be mitigated, taken completely from the heart of the living entity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is not a surprise coming from you, Vasudev. You are an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj, who similarly wished to see the deliverance of all living entities from their struggle with material existence. The position, our teaching of Lord Chaitanya, the gift that we've been offered from Lord Chaitanya, is not a salvationist promise. You take this up, you become saved. You reach salvation, you attain moksha. That's part of the package, but that's not the promise, or that's not the extent of the gift. The extent of the gift is love of Godhead, which goes beyond the neutralization of one's involvement in karmic reaction in the modes of nature. It's described by some of our Vaishnava acharyas as the fifth dimension. So there's dharma, artha, kama, then moksha. So what's beyond moksha? Beyond liberation is being situated in your loving relationship with the personality of Godhead. That's what Lord Chaitanya was giving. And that's what Vasudev Dutt wanted Lord Chaitanya to give to all living entities within creation. I want to read a little bit from the purports of these verses. Narottam Das Thakur confirms Vasudev Dutt is the ideal devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the following verse. Gaurangera Sanghi Gane Nitya Siddha Kari Mane Se Yaya Vrajendra Sutta Pash. Or one who executes the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must be considered eternally liberated. He is a transcendental person, does not belong to this material world. Such a devotee, engaging in the deliverance of the total population, is as magnanimous as Lord Chaitanya himself. So, we're not Vasudev Dutta. We don't have that capacity. We're not as magnanimous as Lord Chaitanya himself either. But as followers of Lord Chaitanya, as great personalities who are followers of Lord Chaitanya, we can learn from their example to receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, not for our own liberation, but in fact it's the opposite. Our means of deliverance, in fact, is taking up the mission of Lord Chaitanya, becoming the servants and the instruments of Lord Chaitanya. And taking that gift which he's given, first we have to receive it and cultivate it nicely, but give it to others. At least create an opportunity where others can potentially receive it. That is our means of deliverance. If this was a different audience in a different setting, I could go down the path of... I'll briefly describe it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains very strongly, as Bhaktisiddhanta does everything very strongly, he explains this practice, sahajya practice, of imitating the position of one who is a perfected soul. When he was in Puri, there was a very famous yogi and Vaishnav. Those of you that have been to Jagannath Puri, how many have been to Jagannath Puri? So when you go to the Samadhi Mandir, a group of the youth were taking youth yatra to Puri. So heads up, you can be thinking about this before we get there. We'll go to the Samadhi of Haridas Thakur. We'll hear the whole lila. There's the Samadhi of Haridas Thakur, and off in the corner, there's another Samadhi of somebody else. That somebody else was a contemporary of Bhaktivinod Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta. And he was a very popular, very influential personality. But there were two things that he did that Bhaktisiddhanta took exception to. He made up his own mantra that had rasabhas in the mantra. He would have people do kirtan. Something. Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Japa Hare Krishna Hare Ram, something like that. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, why are you doing this? Lord Chaitanya, you're a follower of Lord Chaitanya. He gave the Maha Mantra. This other mantra, you just made it up. It doesn't have the potency of the Maha Mantra. And besides, there is a conflict of rasa in this mantra. But you know, that didn't stop him because he became popular by doing it. And the other is his number one disciple. He dressed him as Lalita. Don't worry, I won't do this. Rati, how would you like to be Lalita? We'll put you in a sari. And you just cultivate the mood of being Lalita. Saki Beki, it's called. So Bhaktisiddhanta spoke so strongly, publicly, against these two things. It was making an uproar. You know how Orissans and Bengalis get, it's, you know, whoa. That's when Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I think you should just go to Navadvipa and chant Hare Krishna. I'll deal with this in a different way. Because they had a different style, a different approach. So that's when he went to Navadvipa as, you know, a young man and took this vrata that he would chant 3 billion names of the Lord by chanting 3 lakhs of names a day. 3 times 64 rounds a day. Think about that one. Every day, not like, you know, have a japa retreat and chant 64 rounds. One day out of 4. Every day, 3 times that. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. For years, until he completed his vrata. And he completed his vrata. Bhaktisiddhanta was so powerful. So, similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta spoke against this idea of imitating Haridas, going to a solitary place, and just chanting japa, with the expectation that people will then adore me and worship me and honor me. And solitary bhajan, he was not in favor of. He was in favor of getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So he explains the way that one can come to that stage of entering into the mood of Lalita, or entering into the mood of the intimate associates of Krishna through the process of Lord Chaitanya. It's nam bhajan, but it's also preaching. Sometime we'll go in more detail. Don't ask me questions about it tonight. But by the mood of preaching, combined with the chanting of the holy name, one gets that mercy of Lord Chaitanya such that the full gift of Vraja Prema one can experience directly. By that same compassion of Prahlad Maharaj, the same compassion as Vasudev Dutt. We don't have the capacity that they have, but the principle we can follow to our capacity. Receive with a grateful heart. Accept it within the core of your heart. Cultivate that very carefully. Practice it under the guidance of one who is training you nicely in Krishna consciousness. Grow it very, very carefully. And give it to others in the course of that combination of those two. This is where we, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's teaching, is where the higher stages of bhakti can enter our heart. By Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we receive the fullness of that mercy. And that's how it manifests. Spontaneous stages of love of God will enter your heart. It requires purification, requires qualification of purity. And that's what we'll be speaking about tomorrow morning, of the standard of purity. Now, in another purport. This is Prabhupada's writing. In essence, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Vasudev Dutt, "You desire the liberation of all kinds of living entities without discrimination. You are very anxious for their good fortune. And I say that simply by your prayer, all living entities within the universe can be liberated. You do not have to take up the burden of their sinful activities. There is no need for you to suffer for their sinful lives. Whoever receives your compassion becomes a Vaishnava immediately. And Krishna delivers all Vaishnavas from the reactions of their past sinful activities." You caught it? Vasudev Dutt, or one who's acting as Vasudev Dutt was acting, that is, taking up the concern for the innermost heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the living entities come to the stage of love of God so that his name Vishvambar can be fulfilled, take up that mission. You can't be effective unless you've properly received it. So properly receive it. Let go of the false shelters and take shelter exclusively in the personality of Godhead. Cultivate like that, according to the teachings of Rupa Goswami. And then give that same opportunity to others. Then one becomes a Vaishnava. One has received the mercy of another Vaishnava. And when Krishna sees that, the reactions of your past misdeeds are all taken away by Krishna himself. It's part of the package. Just receive the mercy of great souls. Prabhupada concludes, as soon as one fully surrenders to Krishna, he becomes a Vaishnava. So to assist others in that process of surrendering, and we'll emphasize, surrendering fully, coming to the stage where one can surrender fully to the personality of Godhead, such a person is a great soul. A phrase that Prabhupada often used, both in relation to Prahlad Maharaj and Vasudev Dutt, again and again, para dukkha dukkhi. You've heard this one. Para dukkhi. Para dukkha dukkhi. One becomes, one's unhappiness is the unhappiness of others. For Prahlad, he was saying, "I don't have any unhappiness. I just remember you and your qualities and your pastimes. And I'm filled with joy. But one thing brings me sukha, or dukkha, excuse me. I become very concerned with the unhappiness, the distress of others." So where that phrase comes from, para dukkha dukkhi, it's not from Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, but it's used in reference to Prahlad Maharaj. It comes from Raghunath Das Goswami. He wrote some prayers in glorification of Sanatan Goswami. The six Goswamis, you go study their lives and go a little more deeply in their lives, and it's a great treasure. Above the entire Kadamba deities of Krishna Balaram is this nice prayer by Raghunath Das glorifying Rupa Goswami, where he's taking a straw in his teeth and begging Rupa Goswami for just a speck of dust from his lotus feet, birth after birth. That's his aspiration. And Sanatan Goswami, he's praying to Sanatan Goswami his great appreciation. He calls Sanatan Goswami this person, para dukkha dukkhi. "I was unwilling to drink the nectar of devotional service. possessed of renunciation. But Sanatana Goswami, out of his causeless mercy, made me drink it, even though I was otherwise unable to do so. Therefore, he is an ocean of mercy. There's this other phrase, Kripam Buddhi. He is very compassionate to fallen souls like me. And thus, it is my duty to offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. It's the same as Prahlad was saying about Narada. How could I possibly leave his service? Meaning, how could I take some material benediction for you, my Lord? I only want Narada's association. I only want your service. I don't want anything else. Because these great personalities, the Sanatana Goswami personalities, the Raghunath Das Goswami personalities, the Vasudev Datta personalities, our disciplic succession is filled with such personalities. They can carry us to the other side of material existence, not just salvation, but to rejoin our eternal loving service with Krishna. And the process to take us there, they are such personalities. All of us, without exception, or otherwise we wouldn't be here, all of us have been the recipients of such mercy, to some extent, from some very compassionate Vaishnavas. And this is the mood that Raghunath Das Goswami is exhibiting, that Vasudev Dutta, that these great souls are teaching us by their example. We should feel very indebted, very grateful to that which can carry us beyond what we would have otherwise been able to attain. That's what Raghunath Das is saying. On my own, I never would have attained this. But by Sanatana Goswami's great mercy, he made me more than what I am, more than what I possibly could have attained. Therefore, with my whole heart, I accept this position of offering my heartfelt prostrate obeisances unto the lotus feet of Sanatana Goswami. Never do I want to depart from the lotus feet of Sanatana Goswami. I simply want to serve him. There's so many examples in our Vaishnava in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, who stayed in Vrindavan and under the care of Rupa and Raghunath, his initiating spiritual master was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was Lord Nityananda. But he writes, I offer my obeisances again and again to the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath, because always desiring their mercy. This is how we can expand this unending flow of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Receive it and cherish it, value it, and as a service to Lord Chaitanya, extend it to others, like the Panchatattva. Lord Chaitanya was saying, how much can I eat of this love of God? I need others to help me eat and distribute. Come help. And by so doing, it expands. It's mystical. It's like that. So, conclusion is, each of us should be eager to receive the mercy from elevated personalities like Vasudev Dutt, or those that carry that mood of Vasudev Dutt or Prahlad Maharaj. Those who have been recipients of Lord Chaitanya's compassion and mercy. In this way, we can at least strive to become a genuine Vaishnav. So on that note of genuine Vaishnav, I'll just highlight where we're going tomorrow with this, that the standard of purity in Prabhupada's commentary about Vasudev Dutt's prayers, because it's to Lord Chaitanya, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that there was no pretense in the words of Vasudev Dutt. He wasn't saying it because it was nice sounding, flowery, poetic, oh gee, that's a nice statement. He meant it. He cared so much. And he was prepared to whatever it takes. If you find they're too sinful, transfer their sinful reactions to me. That's okay. Deliver them. Somehow. You have the capacity. He's not saying, I have the capacity, I'll go out there and deliver them for you. Just like Lord Nityananda in the deliverance of Jagai and Madhai, his contemplation was, Lord Chaitanya is the most munificent personality of all the forms of Godhead, and I want to demonstrate it. He will deliver Jagai and Madhai, and then everyone will see. By his delivering Jagai and Madhai, the world will know he's the most merciful. So when Jagai and Madhai were delivered, it's in Chaitanya Bhagavat, so it's not repeated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya had a disagreement. Who was the deliverer of Jagai and Madhai? Lord Chaitanya was saying to Lord Nityananda, you are so merciful. You've gone to these most sinful persons and injured yourself just to deliver them. And Lord Nityananda said, no, no, no. You have delivered them. I was just your messenger on my own. What can I do? But by your mercy. No, no. You forgave them. You were not concerned at all for your well-being. You just wanted them to chant the holy name and receive the purification from that. No, no. That was just as a service unto you. You've delivered them. No, you delivered them. No, you delivered them. As Vaishnava or aspiring Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, Lord Chaitanya is the deliverer. We're not. We're, you know, bungling idiots. We just, you know, trying to do something. Somehow we get out of the way a little bit and something nice happens. But Lord Chaitanya is merciful. That's how this so can expand. But without the receiving that mercy and that those deeper feelings of gratitude for those who have given us whatever it is that we have, the expanding of the flow of Lord Chaitanya's mercy is not going to happen. Conversely, when those connections are very strong, the flow of mercy can easily go. Unlimitedly, without consideration. It's amazing sometimes to see who can become a Vaishnava. Just inconceivable mercy. Sometimes most amazing persons become devotees and take seriously the practice of Krishna consciousness. Okay, so I'll end there. See if there's any comments or questions. We have a back there.
Did you ask something in my business comments? When the God appears and disappears, he comes with the spiritual body. When the disappears also, he goes with the same spiritual body.
I got that he comes with a spiritual body. The last part I didn't get.
When it disappears, he goes with also a spiritual body.
He also returns in his spiritual body. That's a question?
Yes.
Does he go back? Is that true?
I'm hearing many voices, but not one clear answer.
That's his expression that when God goes back, does he go back with his spiritual body?
Why do you ask such a question? Is there a doubt that his form is spiritual?
Not like a Prabhu, but not. Can you, I'm trying to understand, he has a spiritual body.
Yes.
When he appears,
but when he appears, let's get this straight. When Krishna appears, is your understanding that, like us, he accepts a material body that's covering his spiritual body? Is that your understanding? The answer is no. Okay. It's directly in Bhagavad Gita that foolish persons think that I've assumed a material form. Manushim tanam ashritam param bhavam ajananto. So Krishna comes in a spiritual form and he returns in a spiritual form. Does that answer your question? How about this? This is off topic, so you come and ask me afterwards.
Sure.
Okay. Anything that's on topic? Manoj?
Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj, for explaining this proceeding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and that is leading to others. Guru Maharaj, I have got some encouragement and also a caution that while trying to distribute what I have received, to check whether is it the need of my own or for benefiting others. So, how do I discern that?
Okay, I'll give short three-part answer. Assume that there's a mix, because there's something that's impelling that's of a spiritual dimension, there's something that's impelling that's of a egoistic fulfillment. Assume that there's a mix. So I had a discussion this afternoon with someone else on the same topic, and that recognize that there is, you may not be able to separate out the two. That's the nature of your question. But that which is of the egoistic portion, which you may not be able to separate out, recognize that it's there and de-amplify, diminish the how I am doing this and how I am enjoying this and the creator of the result. De-amplify any of that component and rather take the position, amplify, I'm a very tiny, unqualified jiva trying to be the humble servant of Guru and Krishna. As much as your attention is over there, it's on the spiritual side. As much as there's a blur, it's mixed. And when there's primary focus upon, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to get the result, and I'm enjoying doing this, what's wrong? The other person is just something wrong with them, if they're not. So, that's the egoistic side. And the two components are mixed. So now what to do? Go forward, diminishing this one, increasing this one. And spend extra time over here on the process of hearing and chanting and the process of immediate service amongst those who you are in contact with, like your family, the little congregational group that you're associated, and simply try to be their servant in different capacities before, you know, going out to rescue others. Let that cultivate purity in your immediate circumstance. Okay?
Over here.
Oh. Whatever. We have 10 minutes. Let's go.
Just to clarify something you said. When you said positive, that the took said that he wanted to take on the sins of everybody. So does that mean if I was to take initiation from you, you take on my sin?
The good news is you become a Vaishnav, and because you become a Vaishnav, Krishna will take away your sins. And another good news is, through the fire of devotional service, the fire of devotional service is such that it burns the reactions of sins. So the caution is there on the for those who are taking on the service of initiating disciples. Their fire of devotion should be very strong, and they should not accept too many disciples, lest they suffer the reactions of the sins of their disciples. But when the fire of devotional service is very strong, and the genuine submission unto Krishna, we heard it, right? One becomes a Vaishnav. When one becomes a Vaishnav, Lord Chaitanya's saying, reactions are taken by Krishna.
Does Lord Krishna choose to suffer?
Oh, wait a minute now.
Or does it just get
wiped out? Just like, you know, here's a nice big fire, and you put some wood in the fire. Wood's gone. It's burned in the fire. Okay? Krishna's a big fire. Subal, Gayatri had her hand up. Raise your hand so he can know who you are.
I see the mercy flowing in my life when things are congenial and all the everything is available to me. But I'm not able to, I find it very difficult to see the mercy flowing at testing cases, and I'm not able to glorify the devotees or anything like that. Unless I'm pulled out of that particular circumstance.
Unless you're what?
Unless I'm pulled out of that particular circumstance, till that time I'm not able to see the mercy flowing.
Pulled out or out.
I'm not able to see the unconditional mercy at testing cases.
You're not able to receive Krishna's mercy, then what was the last part?
In the testing phases.
In the testing phases. Oh, so we should just exempt you from tests. Put in a requisition. Krishna, please don't test me because I forget you when you test me. Is that all right? Okay. Krishna, please give her tests. But not ones that she forgets you. So there's some effort from your side also. Yeah? There's a practicing Vaishnav in the sadhana stage, It's necessary. It's a necessary, like, cultivation component to recognize that we have attachments, and as long as our attachments are left alone, we're okay. And then when our attachments start to get uprooted, that's when we have a little problem. But it's good. It's Krishna's mercy. When there's those attachments are unwholesome, it's Krishna's mercy. So prepare yourself for, you know, a little upward slope where that, once you learn it down here, then you can learn it up here, and you can learn it up here. And, you know, the more deep and even subtle attachments, that same principle is something that that'll stay with you. So you can, you know, you can grow in your Krishna consciousness. Because, you know, it goes on. It continues for a while. The easier ones, we just give up. Then there are ones that we're more attached to. There are ones that are just like very sacred to us. But the principle, it'll grow. Just, you know, understand it in it. Krishna will not give you a test you cannot pass. He'll not give you a challenge you cannot. He'll also give you the strength to meet that challenge. That's a fact, and it's also a matter of faith to experience it. And you have very nice guides and mentors who will help you through those little experiences. It's Krishna's kindness. Okay? Okay. Someone else? Okay. Way in the back. We have 3 minutes. Let's go quickly.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Sometimes you just mentioned
Jagannatha. Just mentioned what? I know. That thing's pointing to you and not towards me. Okay, try again.
Yeah. In reference to Jagai and Madhai, sometimes...
Jagai and Madhai.
Yeah. Have some proportion to some proportion such qualities, like, you know, we are corrupt, or sometimes, you know, we lie, you know, day-to-day, material life.
Uh-huh.
And on the other side, we say Hare Krishna, and we go to Japan, and come to temple and do all this.
So you're saying we're little Jagai Madhais.
Yeah. So, am I a hypocrite here, because in the daily life?
Well, here, let me, because it's about the conscience is going to blow. Let me just respond.
Okay.
We're not hypocrites if we do what Lord Chaitanya said to Jagai Madhai. What did Lord Chaitanya say to Jagai and Madhai? First he said to the devotees, don't ever speak of them according to their past activity. They're Vaishnavas. And then he said to them, don't go back to your former activities. Continue in this way. But don't revert back. So we're hypocrites if we go back. Now there's this other thing there's offense, there's nam aparad, there's shuddha nam, and there's the in-between stage called namabhas. If we're striving to overcome those weaknesses or those contaminations, if we're striving, that's not hypocrisy. Genuinely striving. And we may be weak, but we're striving. And so, that's not hypocrisy. But the hypocrisy is, hey, this is a good program. I chant Hare Krishna, make myself clean, go out and do my nonsense, and chant Hare Krishna, make myself clean. That's hypocrisy. The other is, I'm striving to become free from those impurities. Is that all right?
So sometimes we are forced in the material world to give in to some things like, you know,
well, that's a matter of opinion, whether we're forced to give in to sinful activity. It's a matter of opinion. We have free will, and we don't have to. If our determination is weak, we may think that we have to. But we don't have to. I mean, you know, there's examples of recent dialogue with devotees where, you know, we're living in a contaminated atmosphere. And in the contaminated atmosphere, find something that's pure. Good luck. Everything is contaminated in the worldly. But we can certainly choose to not go in that direction. And Krishna will gradually take us out of that contamination and become agents of purity. So that's the conch. We're going to end. Shishirata Damodar ki. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Gaur Pemanandi.
Yeah.